enabled.
No, I said sunflower seeds on the side. These are sprinkled all over the salad like World War II paratroopers over the French countryside. Take it back. Ugh, these prison waiters are a crime unto themselves. Now, I've used up all my prison rations for this phone call, and that means no access to the empanada cart for a week. But I've got to keep these transmissions going. Computer, begin transmission. Also, research recipes for homemade empanadas using toilet water and your cellmate's stolen dream journal.
And welcome back, everybody. It's Rick Picklesmith here at a fantastic game of mittens. It's the Hog's Face Poison Blades up against the orcs guarding the town of Hog's Face, currently, I believe, managed by the Dark Lord. And the score sits, if you haven't been with us for the last 6 days, it's been a bit of a slow one, but the score currently sits 2103. That's what the orcs have so far, to six. So that means the Hog's Face has got the potted plant flower all the way across a 2,009-yard field six times. The orcs have done it three, but they've caught three birds. For those that missed the most exciting action so far earlier, Chad, the human zoo potato man, so named because he's a shaman, famous for attracting animals kind of in his general direction, and that is an extreme talent in the game of mittens where catching a bird is worth 700 points. So the human zoo has been up to his old tricks, attracting birds throughout the game. Over the past 6 days, he's attracted hundreds of birds, most of their carcasses littered via wizard attacks and other fan interference, but he's managed to catch three birds over the course of 6 days. It's 2,103 to six, and we're back now with the next segment. I believe it's going to be our last segment before halftime, thank the good Lord. This segment's brought to you by Skittles, shorter skits. Very funny, half the time. Skittles. Now then, I'm super excited to announce that we've got a great group in here. We still have on the sideline our sideline wizard, Usador, down on the sideline. And my understanding is that I am contractually obligated to allow him to state his full name in every segment. So let me kick it down to Usador, sideline wizard.
I am Usador, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow. Manipulator of magical lights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarkus. The elves know me as Fiang Yalak. The dwarves know me as Zonin and Hookstanges. And I am known in the northeast as Gasmanius Maystar. I'm very excited to be here today with you, Rick.
It's great to have you down there, Usador. It's been kind of a slow game so far. Anything that's particularly stuck out to you for the field of play so far?
I thought it was very interesting that the Baskin chose to learn Squibbish.
Oh, yeah, that was an interesting play. They call that the Montague Defense, and it was pretty popular back in the 1830s.
It's a lost language. Who speaks Squibbish anymore?
Yeah, just the squibs. I tell you what, I was excited to have in the booth with me right now. This is a great treat. You know them from their podcast, and you also know my friend here, Chunt, from his podcast, Getting Nuts, as well. I've got with me Chunt and Arnie. Really excited to have you guys in the booth.
Oh, yeah, baby. So great to be here.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Arnie. Do I speak into this magical...
That's right. That's right. We're coming to the whole world via horse blood. This is audio that comes right at you. A wizard,
you put your face right in the horse blood.
That's right. The wizard slaughters the horse, and then you can hear us talking. But there's all sorts of people coming at you from the walk and pop, from the magic box, anything you want.
So
coming your way.
So I guess I had heard in the past that people sometimes watch these games in wizard blood. I didn't realize that you also broadcast into big puddles of.
Arnie, we're
horse
live.
Blood.
We're live right now broadcasting.
What? We're live?
Yeah. Look, let me tell you something. This has been a great, great treat to have you guys here. And one thing I like to do. Oh, I got to stop for a quick second. There's a little bit of action. The human zoo is trying to get a bird out there. Oh, nope. The bird was incinerated. That's going to happen a lot, folks. That's really the bulk of the game. Now, one thing I like to do when I get some guests up here is I like to air a grievance.
Okay.
And so what we do in this segment, we each air a grievance about someone who is in the booth or on the field or nearby. And I'm going to start out, and I'm going to take this out of my wife. She's not here. She's not in the booth or on the field, so I've immediately violated the only rules I laid out. But let me tell you something. My wife has really been frustrating me lately. Mrs. Picklesmith is just something of a stickler for whether or not we are traveling over the speed limit. And I got to tell you, lay off about the speed limit. You
know traveling what I mean? How? I'm sorry to interrupt, Rick.
Can your horse go 55?
Yeah, that's right. And so I get on my horse and, you know, this is what really frustrates me, is I get on my horse and she gets on a slightly taller horse. And I am so tired of her getting on her high horse, if you know what I mean. And she's on her high horse.
Ask her to get off her high horse.
That's what I do. And she's like, you gotta slow down. And I'm like, get off your high horse. So anyway, that's my grievance. But you're up here, Chunt. I'd like to hear a grievance that you have. You can air it about anyone, anything.
I mean, it's not about you personally, but I will say it's semi-annoying that a lot of people who are here at the game will come up to the booth, pound on the booth sort of windows here, and just yell, I'm Picklesmith Rick. It's just very annoying.
Yeah.
I understand that people want to mimic you, and you have a wonderful broadcasting voice, and you're very well-respected, but it's just annoying.
Yeah, no, I don't care for these Rick Picklesmith yells in the revert where they get the words in the wrong order.
Yeah.
And like Pickle Rick and all that.
Yeah,
I don't care
just,
for it.
Yeah, I mean, let it go, right?
Yeah, we all saw it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Artie, what's you got a grievance. Let's go ahead and air it.
Yeah, you know, I guess I would say my grievance is against the Dark Lord who imprisoned Hogsface again and betrayed us and, you know, is forcing us to have this game where the orcs seem like they're cheating and demoralizing the people of Hogsface. That's in a nutshell, that's my grievance.
Well, that's petty and trivial. Let's kick it to Usador. Give me a grievance, sideline wizard.
This is Usador, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakas, known to the elves as Fianyalak, known to the dwarves as Zonin Huxangis.
And known to Mittens fans as Aaron Grievance.
And I would like to air my grievance against the manager of the Skur Buzzards. They had a great season this year, but they came in first place, so they can't play in the cavalcade.
That's right. That's exactly right. Now, Usador, big Skur Buzzards fan, wearing a Skur Buzzards jersey down there, which is not very impartial, but, you know, hey, what the hell? We got to kill some time, right? Huh? Wait a second. We got some action on the field. It looks like Cluck Farmington has got the pot away from the basket. Cluck Farmington, one of the hillsmen for Hogsface, goes by the nickname Half Man, Half Amazing, which is more literally should be half man, half chicken, because he's a half man. He's got tiny chicken legs, and so he's going very slowly.
I can't tell if that's a an insult or, to say that somebody's half amazing. I don't know how I would take that.
I tell you what, it is amazing that he can cover any ground, given how tiny those legs are in relation to the rest of his body, which is corpulent with respect to the top half.
Oh. Do we not want to get this guy confused with the guy with half a cock?
I don't know this guy.
That is not fantastic.
That sounds like someone should air a grievance related to that. But I tell you what, we got some exciting stuff. We got a little bit of a break in the action because it seems like old Cluck Farmington fell right down, which is usually what occurs given the incredible difficulty of balancing his top half with those tiny legs. And that is going to allow us to go down onto the field where I believe Usador has got a live interview with Flower, the potted plant from the Hog's Face, Poison Blades.
Flower, it's wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, it's fucking great to be here. I've been working out. Just, like, spend my time. I didn't know how much I was into sports until I got here, and then I was like, I feel like I found my true self.
Is there anyone you want to speak to out through the walk and pop or through the horse murder blood or... say anything. Is there anything you want to promote? Are you shilling for anything today?
No, man. I'm just living in the moment. I'll tell you who I want to talk to is that fucking Baskin. Have you seen those hands?
Oh, Aramath the Fitz?
Oh, I haven't been touched like that in a while. And I feel like that was six times, man.
Yes,
six
yes.
times that Baskin. That Baskin was robbing every part of me. Like, straight up.
How many times total do you think that was?
Six times across the field. It took a long time to get there, and I was like the whole time, I'm in his ear going, go slower.
Well, six times you made it the whole way, but I'd say there were upwards of 30, 31 times that Aramath had.
You watching us?
I'm watching the whole game.
You fucking sicko.
No, I have to watch the whole game.
Hey, well, look, the whole crowd loves it. They love it. While I got you, though, here, Flower, this seems like a great time to play a little game that I like to call Mary, Buck, Bill. All right, and this is
okay.
This is where I went out and scanned, and I'm going to give you three last names, and you tell me which one is most affiliated with the first name Mary, which is most affiliated with the first name Buck, and which is most affiliated with the first name Bill.
Boy, I love games.
All right, the last names are Poggles, Rampersand, and Stuart Master Antonio.
Wait, what was that? Say again.
So you gotta match that last name to a first name. So the first names are Mary, Buck, and Bill. Famous game.
The last one is 100% Mary.
So we got Poggles, we got Rampersand, and we got Stuart Master Antonio.
Yeah. Stuart Master Antonio is definitely Mary.
Okay.
Poggersand?
We got Poggles.
Poggles.
Is that Buck or Bill?
Poggles and Rampersand?
That's right.
Fuck. Bill Rampersand. What was the other option?
That Poggle. Leaves Buck Poggles.
Poggle.
I'll tell you what, you went one out of three. That's not so bad. Buck Poggles. It turns out that of all of the Poggles, 8% of them are named Buck, which is more than any other first name. But it's Bill Stuart Master Antonio. He's the only one that we could find. That's the only Stuart Master Antonio. And then Mary Rampersand. And so now the back half is when you play Mary Buck Kill is you got to pick of those three, one that you would like to live the rest of your life with, one you would like to have intercourse with, and one that you would like to cease the life of.
Okay, the one with the long name, the three names.
That's right.
Fuck them.
Ooh. Good.
They gotta die. The one with the.
Which one?
Oh.
But wait,
it's fuck them. They have to die. You have to choose.
I have to pick one. I pick one for each?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I thought I was just picking one name, and then I'm like, oh, fuck, damn. We got married.
That's fine. It's great just to pick the one that you want to fuck. That's how
was
we
it,
put
was
that
it
game
Bill? On. Bill was the one with the long name?
Bill Rampersand.
Bill Stuart Master Antonio. That's
I still
correct.
Don't believe
so
that's
you
true.
Fuck Bill, marry Buck.
That's right.
And kill Mary?
That sounds good to me.
See, I'd kill Bill just from revenge.
Oh my God! It looks like we've got a great treat here. We've had come right off the field because the
we've
action
had
is
come right off the field.
Sorry.
Oh boy!
Six times
at least.
Walking right off the field, not to be confused with the cub of the field, is none other than one of the Hog's Face poison blades, and this is Ooze.
Ooh, my turn.
Great to see you, Ooze. I noticed that you've been down there trying to distract the referee for a lot of the game. That's good work.
I've just kind of been hanging out underneath him, you know, hanging out as low as I can go. See what he does. See if he steps in me. It's a good idea.
Well, I know you've slowed him down by expanding your substance across the field.
Yes, I can make myself very, very thin and spread myself very, very wide. In this case, I've found the exact thickness that can keep myself flexible enough in case some bird wants to fall in me, and the right liquidity that a referee steps in
I
me.
I just came again.
Speaking of liquidity, Rick, excuse me for interrupting, but speaking of liquidity, I just noticed that the Baskin for the Orc team has started doing everyone's taxes and is trying to find tax loopholes.
No, that's right. That's one of the many tasks that a Baskin does. A lot of times that the tax work that is done can lead to an unexpected victory. Oh. And so a lot of Baskins traded a lot of different ways. You know what? While I've got you, Isidore, I'd like to go to another little segment that we like to call Serial or Serial Killer. And this section is brought to you by Murder Serial. A cereal this good should be illegal. Murder Serial brings you cereal or you know how to play this, Isidore. I named something. It's either a cereal or someone that has murdered many people using a specific modus operandi that has then led to them being referred to as a serial killer. So I'll name it.
I'm excited.
Start the clock.
You tell me.
Murder cereal is my favorite.
Cereal or serial killer. We start with spicy banana.
Serial killer.
Correct. Next up is apple crisps.
Cereal.
Correct. Next up is Lizzie Wadsworth.
Cereal.
Correct. All right, you're too good at this game, Isidore. I'm never going to stump you. Let's go to Chunt.
Oh, I can't. I mean,
start the clock.
Isidore got it in three whacks.
Yeah, he sure did. All right, the fat ghost.
Oh, the fat ghost. I want to say fat ghost. I want to say my dad.
We're looking for cereal or serial killer.
Cereal
or serial killer?
Serial killer.
Trick question. It's both. There's a cereal named after the famed serial killer, the Fat Ghost.
Now I'm hungry for a Fat Ghost.
Flour, going to you.
Oh, yeah.
Chalky Bomber. Is that a cereal or is that a serial killer?
Serial killer.
That's correct. Chalky Bombers.
Oh, cereal.
That's right. A tough one there, but of course, Chalky Bombers, the delicious chocolate wafers, served not with milk, but with a thick, dark, gooey chocolate, comes in a bag.
Fuck yeah, squeeze that shit out.
Pour it in a bowl, suck it down, Chalky Bombers. Okay. Tell you what, Artie, understanding is you've never been to a Mittens game before this game.
I have not. I have not been to any Mittens games, no. To be fair, Mittens hasn't been played in Hog's Face most of the time I'm here, partly because I threw the flower on the team off a cliff shortly after meeting her the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's awkward. Flower, any memories from that moment when Arnie threw you off a cliff?
Yeah, every morning when I open my goddamn eyes, I relive that moment.
Yeah. Sounds terrible. Old Mrs. Picklesmith threw me off a cliff, metaphorically, when she pointed out to many people that my zipper was unzipped in the middle of a public speech. And that's another grievance I'd like to air against
my wife. Does she want to hang out? I feel like we would get along.
She probably wants to hang out. She's always searching for more female friends, whatever that means. I don't understand. It sounds like she's got a lot of male friends.
I'm non-binary.
Rick, we have a call down on the field. Srimble Zithwith has been fined 400 gold pieces for heating up the air around birds, hoping that the hollow air in their bones expands, causing them to explode in a wide area.
Unbelievable. I mean, that guy pushes the boundaries all the time, and it's good to see him get caught and put 400 gold into the pickle jar.
Rick, can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
I used to play Mittens, but I'm a little confused about the situation with Cluck Farmington. Now, if the orcs were to grab Cluck Farmington and carry him all the way down across the field, would that be 350 points? Half a goal?
It's an interesting point, and it's one that's really plagued Cluck throughout his career.
Since he is half bird, I mean, that's technically... Because they're all over him.
That's right. So it's a great question. And for several years, there was a ruling that said if you catch Cluck Farmington, that's worth half a bird.
Mm.
And believe you me, it was just absolute insanity down there. It was like... they were just chasing him around, you know, like his tiny legs running as fast as he could. And so just a year ago, they said, no more catching Cluck Farmington. He's a player. God damn it, respect him. And, you know, it's been good so far.
Good, maybe good. Arnie, you enjoying yourself?
What's this?
You enjoying yourself?
Oh, I just started staring off into space.
You haven't touched the peed nuts.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. I don't want to know what they are. Is it weird if I just blow bubbles into this horse blood?
That's the ooze.
Oh, ooze. I'm so sorry.
Bird. There's a bird very close to the human zoo. The human zoo is about to catch a bird, but nope. Incinerated by a wizard. A nice little play there by ooze. Seemed to slow down the human zoo just as he was attempting to catch that bird. If we could get ooze.
Man, he's really spread himself thin.
Yeah. Ooze, are you up here in the press box and on the field?
Yeah. Turns out there's a leak. When the pipes get cracked, that's when the ooze does their best work. Ooze, I can travel all over. Part of me's on the field, and then, of course, part of me that's in the booth with you right now and just enjoying watching myself doing the best work that an ooze can do.
Ooze, I can't help but notice that the part of you that's on the field playing is just a puddle with a jersey on it.
Yeah.
Just a jersey floating in a pool.
It's more of sort of like a cascading effect over the ooze. I'm having a little trouble. The jersey is sticking a little bit because it seemed to be intertwined with some flowers' cum.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Great then. As long as I'm not, you know, sort of the only one sort of, you know, experiencing this.
Is that a phrase you thought you'd say this morning? Intertwined with flowers' cum.
Ooze has been through a lot, and Ooze surprises himself every day that he gets on the field. But right now, no.
All right. I love it. Ooze, it's great to hear from you. I got to say, we're going to do a quick round of ploppers. This is where I go around and I plop one question on each of you. Just a quick question. You think about it. You think as much or as little as you want.
Got to be a better name for that segment.
No, it's called ploppers. People love it. It's called Rick Picklesmith's Ploppers. So let me go ahead and plop one on you, Chunt. How old should a horse be before it's really just too old? You know what I mean? Like, that horse has had enough. You know what I mean?
This is not a question I want to answer. How old is too old for a horse?
That is your opinion, not a fact. You're not necessarily stating a fact.
I don't know, 85?
85, whoa, that's a lot older than I would have said. I love it. That's respectful to horses.
What?
Usidor, you're down there, you sideline wizard.
Yes, this is Usidor, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of
Trocus.
The elves know me as Fiangyalak, the dwarves know me as Zornhug Stangis, and I'm known in the northeast as Gasmanius Maestar.
Let me ask you a quick plopper for you, Usidor. You're at a gathering with dwarves and elves. What do you go by?
Serial killer.
Oh, all right. Oh, we got Flower down there. We got a quick plopper for you, Flower.
Yeah, I got a headphone on.
What's that?
I'm on the field, back on the field, but I got a headphone on, I can speak remotely.
Oh, that's terrific. You're being carried right now. They're trying, at this very moment, trying to get you 2,009 yards all the way down this field. Let me ask you, Flower.
Yep.
If you only had 5 minutes to live, and in that 5 minutes you were allowed to overcome one social injustice, which one would you pick?
Fuck. Injustice.
You called the easy one.
Wait, is injustice against me or a general injustice?
I'd say a general social injustice, but it could be what specifically that affects you.
I would specifically be thinking of how I could quickly murder the person that was murdering me at that moment to, like, do a double murder so I could get them good. And then we could look each other in the eye and be like, it's a deal.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
Shake hands on it.
That sounds great. Ooze, quick plopper.
Whoop,
whoop. Mountains or the beach, my man?
Oh, yeah.
I can't disagree with that. I love them both. I tell you what, Artie.
Yeah. Where's the snacks?
What's that?
Where is there like a concession?
Yeah, I got you some peed nuts.
Yeah. Where are the not gross snacks?
You go all around the great stadium here. You'll come out of this booth. You'll go by where they're broadcasting in many different ways. You've got broadcasters here doing the magic box. You got to do the walk and pop.
There are more broadcasters up here?
Oh, yeah. Multiple teams broadcasting this game across all of Foon. This is an exciting one. We've got, so it remains 2,100-3-6. That's been the score for over a day and a half now. We're approaching the arbitrary point in which we call it halfway through the game. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Quick plopper for you, Artie. Let's say that you ran into two statues, okay? And one of them always tells the truth, and the other one's got a runny nose.
Yeah.
All right? What question do you ask the one that doesn't have the nose running?
Oh, boy. Good plopper. Here's the thing. If I do that, I say to them, say you run into two statues, and one of them always has a runny nose,
right,
and one of them doesn't. What do you say to those statues?
That's what you ask of the of the other. So what you do is you twist the situation. You put it right back on him.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What you did there was turn it around on him. You put a little mirror right on those two crazy statues.
Yeah.
I like it. So.
I'm going to. Is it all right? I guess I never asked before. I know we're broadcasting into this blood. I also have my own mics for my podcast. Is that I have express written consent from Larry Birdman that I can record some of this.
Well, yeah, you better.
Rick, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but the Orc Baskin has been trying to make a frittata for the last hour, and the referees have declared that it's actually an omelet. I don't think this Orc knows how to make a frittata, doesn't care to make a frittata, is going to let everything in his pantry, in his cupboard, go to waste because he's not utilizing ingredients that would otherwise go bad.
Yeah, you know, I gotta tell you, Eustor, I mean, these Orcs don't know how to play bit.
They just, certainly do not.
They straight up don't. And it's a little frustrating to me, I gotta tell you. I'm an impartial observer. I'm not cheering for one team or the other one, you know what I mean? But I gotta say that I don't like these Orcs because they don't know how to play mittens, and somebody, and I think we know who, seemed to stack their team with, you know, they got like 20 orcs that barely know what's going on, and then they got like 11 players who, they're some of the great old players in mittens history. I mean, we got the Bronze Sheik out there, we got the Vanilla Hammer, as I already mentioned, there's Chad the Human Zoo Potato Man, who's just been dominating the game. You got the Fat Ghost, you got the Velvet Rope, you got the Velvet Towel.
Wait, the Fat Ghost is playing in the game? The serial killer?
Yes, that's correct.
Whoa, I didn't even see him yet.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Hold on. The Fat Ghost is a serial killer that's been in Hawk's face.
Oh,
he's galloping all over the field.
I'm sorry, that reminds me. My segments today are all sponsored by Fat Ghost Cereal.
There's right. a known serial killer in Hog's Face all this time, and he plays on the Mittens team?
That's right. He's killed two during the game. Ugh. That's his famous modus operandi, is that he kills opponents during Mittens games. He shouldn't be allowed in the league, in my opinion. But, you know...
Now, Rick, correct me if I'm wrong. The way to stop the Fat Ghost is if you turn and look at him, he'll freeze, right? But then if you turn back around, he can chase and murder you?
That's exactly right. Yeah. He can't move if he's under the gaze of any one person at any given time. So as long as one person has made direct eye contact with the Fat Ghost, that's it for him.
And you should remember, there are a few acceptable reasons that you can murder someone during a Mittens game.
Correct.
Entering another player's line of sight without permission.
That's right.
Mispronouncing another team's name, and of course, if a player has ever committed adultery, intentional or otherwise.
Wait. Entering another player's line of sight?
Without yeah. permission.
Without permission. So you if must you stare at the first. Fat Ghost, he'll freeze, but the minute he unfreezes, that's you right. just give exactly him reason
right.
to murder.
That's it's exactly a, right. It's a paradox, but he finds a way.
Yeah, he's going to come at you and go, hey.
That's right. That's his famous nope. thing. He runs at you with bales of hay in his hand.
Damn.
And that's how
that
you know
he finds a way.
That's how he kills his victims, as he shoves barley down their mouths. It's not nice. And like I said, these orcs have been pretty frustrating to watch throughout the game. And I'm pleased to see that Ooze has made another excellent play out there. He's really unbelievably thin at this point, covering nearly the entire pitch.
Oh, maybe we'll hear his famous catchphrase.
The wind.
He say the wind?
The wind.
Well, he's moving like the wind for him, relatively. Speedy relative for a news, yes?
Well, you know, like any catchphrase, you hear it once, it doesn't really... It's really the repetition over time that really you come to enjoy it.
Now, in a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by one mysterious anonymous, who is himself an owner of a Mittens team in the league, and we are contractually obligated to run some bloppers by Mysterious Anonymous.
Well, you know what? I have a little bit of a beef with Mysterious Anonymous, so I'm just going to take my mic and kind of walk around the press box and see what else is going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
What's going on in here?
There's a break in the action. This is Axelrod Remax with my guest commentator, Chamlin Bunny Cuddle.
Cheers and greetings to you all. Did you say that I'm Chamlin Bunny Cuddle?
Yes, I did say it, and of course
say it
I am.
Again.
I will. Chamlin Bunny Cuddle.
I love the ring of that. Now, I used to play in a Mittens League when I was a wee boy.
Is that so?
I was a boy who would wee.
This match in particular has me all aflutter. The action is packed.
It's quite stunning to see one team of orc prison wardens go against another team of nuns.
I believe those are just residents of Hog's Face, whose homes we may be able to look at later on.
All of them are nuns?
None of them are nuns.
None of them. They are then.
No, it's, of course...
The whole village is an abbess?
I don't believe it is.
I believe it is. You have to have faith.
I will have to check with my sources.
Just check with me, then.
Are they nuns?
Yes. Well, it's time for my medication.
I'll ready the straps.
And I'll steady the wraps. Give me a solid beat, boy.
Oh, they're busy.
You got a hot mic there. Are we still hear you at our booth?
Nope. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. All right. I'm back.
All right. Great. So, Chunt, it strikes me that this Mittens game is a metaphor for society.
Oh, wow. How so? Can I?
Well, I feel like you've got a ragtag group of underachievers who are just, you know, trying to do their best and get Hog's Face outside of the grip of the Dark Lord. Right? And then on the other side, you got these orcs and these 11 very famous old Mittens players. And so, let's say you wrote a movie, okay, about this.
Okay.
If you're the director of that movie, you can answer any of these questions. Okay. What's the title of that film? What's the result? Like, how does it work out of the end? And what actor, real or imagined, would you want to play the lead who eventually is the hero?
Oh boy, I gotta say, title for some reason just popping straight into my brain space is Miss Mittens.
I like it.
Okay, And I guess the way it would wrap up is that the titular heroine, Miss Mittens, she wins the Mittens game.
I love it.
A.K.A. saves the world.
Very good.
The actor, real or imagined on the spot, that I'd like to play Miss Mittens, I guess would be Carol Longley.
Oh, well, I got to tell you, that is a great name of a made-up actress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That one seems to be in your mind.
Yeah, just Carol Longley.
Carol Longley.
Is that a real actress?
Not that I know of. But you know what? I've been stuck in this goddamn booth for years at a time commenting on these Mittens games. I really have no real reference left.
And Rick, I got to say, this is stop action. I mean, just stop action.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, every Mittens game is a lot of stop action.
I know you asked Chunt, you didn't ask me, but I would call it Hog's Face Jam.
Excuse me?
Then maybe have it star Michael B. Jordan.
Hog's Face Jam? What's the B stand for?
I don't know.
Basketball?
Yeah.
What else he gonna be? He's just gotta be Jordan.
Flower, quick, Plopper. Yeah. If you had to sell drugs to children, but you were allowed to use the money for a charity, would you do it?
100%. You didn't have to keep going. If I could sell drugs to children in a fucking heartbeat, then maybe they'd shut the fuck up.
All right, I'm gonna walk around with my microphone a little bit more. What's going on in here?
Today's action is brought to you in part by rolls. You can eat them, you can meet them, you can have a friend and beat them. Rolls.
And tomorrow's action, of course, is sponsored by Sorensen's Leg Amputations. Painful, but effective.
I'd know. I'm not just a client, I'm the president.
And we're back to action. What a beautiful day for Mittens.
Not a rain in the sky. There's the snap.
Just unbelievable speed from both teams here.
Wow, what a rollout of all sports action.
Lights are out. Someone turned out the lights.
Oh, I'm having a flashback.
Oh, it's an eclipse.
Oh, thank God.
It's over. That was fast.
It was. A rapid solar eclipse.
No, this is the same one I was in before.
Still got that hot mic. We can still pick that up in here. During Rick Picklesmith's broadcast, we're still getting Artie's podcast coming right across it.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry, Rick. Was I accidentally broadcasting another broadcast team on your broadcast?
Yeah, that's what was going down, my bad.
Are there any, like, legal ramifications to that?
Well, as long as you have express written permission of the Mittens and the FML, then you're allowed to rebroadcast or retransmit any of the broadcasts, and I'm allowed to do the same.
Oh, cool. All right.
Now, I'm excited to say, I just noticed as we were going back and forth there, we've got a pretty interesting guest here. This is Mysterious Anonymous. And now, Mysterious Anonymous, the owner of the Hog's Face Poison Blades, is my understanding.
Yes, hello there, Rick. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, it's great to have you. As you well know, these games last quite a long time, and I got to tell you, I would lose my mind if I was here by myself. And Mrs. Picklesmith says I already have, you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, Rick, I am ready to, you know, lift the mystery on who Mysterious Anonymous is.
That is super exciting, but first a quick plopper.
Oh, great.
All right. You've got a body of water. Pick anyone and then pick a color, okay? And what do you pick? It could be the yellow sea. It could be the blue ocean. What do you got?
I'm going to do Lake Teal.
Lake Teal. I love it. Okay. Second plopper. Chocolate or gibberish?
I actually love it. Chocolate gibberish.
You got to pick one of these two concepts is erased from humanity forever. Do we keep chocolate or do we keep gibberish?
Let's destroy chocolate. Gibberish.
Oh, you want to get rid of okay, you got rid of chocolate. No one can ever have chocolate again, but gibberish remains. Chunt, quick similar plopper for you. Would you rather have laws or triangles?
Oh, boy, laws or triangles. Well, some triangles are laws.
Holy shit, that's right.
Like a yield sign.
Checks out.
My dad?
That's a tough one. I couldn't decide.
Yeah.
Usidore.
Yes. This is Usidore, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical lights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Trachis. The elves know me as Fiangyalak. The dwarves know me as Zonin and Hookstangis, and I'm known in the northeast as Gasmanius Maestar. What do you got for me, Rick?
All right, you're not allowed to masturbate, but you can turn into a frog at will. Or someone gives you a box and says there's something pretty exciting in there. What do you take?
Ooh!
Take the box.
Well, let's see.
Well, you can do what into a frog?
Masturbate.
I can already turn into a frog at will, and I do like to touch myself, so I'll take the box.
Oh, pretty good. I had that very question posed to me yesterday morning, and I gotta tell you, I'm glad I took the box.
Okay. Now, we got down here, we've got Mysterious Anonymous with us, and I believe you said you were getting ready for a big reveal.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm just ready to reveal to all of your listeners.
I'm sorry to interrupt again, Rick, but it turns out that Flibbity Gibbet has decided not to go ahead and count the last bird taken by the orc team. They examined the bird closer, and the bird is actually just a squirrel in disguise. So that's 700 points off of their score.
Oh, my God. That is truly exciting. So the score goes down to 1,403-6. And I got to tell you, that is amazing. So one of these crooked orcs dressed a squirrel up like a bird.
That's right.
Do we know for a fact that the squirrel didn't dress itself up as a bird?
We don't know.
This is a good question.
We don't know, but I was very curious when I saw all those ground birds that something was wrong.
There were a lot of birds running around on the ground, running up trees.
They had bushy tails.
Yeah. A lot of emus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come to think of it, I mean, the human zoo attracts all animals, you know what I mean? So when Chad, the human zoo, potato man, is running around out there, and animals are coming at him, it could be a squirrel, could be a bird. I one time, I'm not kidding, walking down the street, great blue whale just slithered all the way up to him. That thing must have been 20,000 miles away from where it was supposed to be.
Well, Chad usually has an orangutan hanging off of him or something, yes, so it's not unlikely that these squirrels could have been brought on by him.
If I could just jump in here and say, nature makes some grotesque mistakes constantly.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, quick plopper. Three animals that should never have existed.
Horses.
Okay, two.
That's one. Well, after 85.
Yeah. I am going to say, llamas.
Oh, my God. The camel gone wrong. That's what we call them in my household. You know what I mean? The llama is nature's abortion.
Oh, no.
And llama eaters.
Oh, well, that's... You know, I was going to say that's wrong and stupid, but now that I think about it, if you don't have llamas, why would you have a llama eater?
Yeah, I mean, really, you get rid of llamas, that problem solves itself.
Yeah, as the mongoose is to the snake, so too the llama eater is to the llama. That was the password that we used to get into my fraternity back in my school days. Oh, my God, speaking
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Duke.
Oh, the Duke School. Oh, very prestigious.
Yes. It was run by the Duke family. The toiletries. The Dukes.
Oh, okay.
So that's where I was. That's where I went. I studied broadcast journalism while I was at the Duke School.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty good. Good middens team there as well. Now, I'm excited to say someone has walked right in to the booth, which is a welcome thing that anyone can do at any point in time, because I got to tell you, I am bored. And here we've got, I believe this is Daphne.
Ooh, what? The pleasure should be mine, shouldn't it? But it turns out it's just another day in an endless drudgery of just walking and talking.
Arnie, you dog, did you invite her?
No,
Not with his words, but I could sense your soul needed me to creep in and put my mouth into the horse blood with the rest of the trough talkers.
Did you soul invite her?
I don't know what my soul's been up to.
Okay, Daphne, quit plopper. You got to get a tattoo. It's got to be at least 15 words, but no more than 18. You got to put it on your leg. What does it say?
It says, every time, that's one word, every time bears come, I want to leave, but I usually stay because I like bears a lot. A lot is two.
I got to tell you what, that's a good tattoo.
How is cum spelled?
C-U-M-E.
Arnie, stop it.
He's flirting. Unhappy. I prey on the unhappiness of an unwed man in this world.
Oh, no, John, I forgot that sometimes my natural frat boy humor can be interpreted as flirtation.
Quick, give Rick a plopper.
Rick!
Oh, hey. Yeah,
hey, if you had to...
Tell him it's a plopper.
Hey, if you had to punch a feeling, what would it be?
Tell him it's a plopper first.
Plopper, hey, Rick. Hey,
I don't understand this random question, Arnie.
Rick.
You just asked me a weird question.
You gotta say I'm dropping a plopper.
Sorry, Rick. Plopper me this.
Oh, hey, it's a plopper. All right, now I'm in. What do we got here?
Hey, what color is too far?
Oh, I gotta tell you what.
Nice one, Arnie. Nice one.
Indigo. By the time I've gotten through Roy and G and up to the B, that's enough for me, Rick Picklesmith. All right.
Mysterious, hey, plopper, plopper.
Mysterious Anonymous, I believe you were in the middle of a key announcement. We're getting ready to reveal something or other, and I'm excited to hear that live here on the show for the first time ever.
Oh, yeah, there was just I know there's been a lot of chatter around the league this year over who Mysterious Anonymous is, and...
Hey, baby, I just want to stop by and say hello. It's me, Pizza Skull. Yeah!
I love it. That reminds me of a quick plopper for you there, Chun. All right, you've got a pizza.
Okay.
You get to pick the first topping, and then your greatest enemy gets to pick the next topping.
Okay,
and then you're going to split the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
What do you pick as your topping?
Raspberry.
Okay, and then your greatest enemy, what do you hope they don't pick?
Cheese.
All right. One raspberry and cheese pizza ordered up.
Oh, no. You really plopped into that one.
Here you go. Blah, 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 blah.
Pizza Skull just barfed in my mouth.
Daphne, what have you been up to? We haven't seen you in a long time.
What have I been down to is a more appropriate question. Hell?
Hell?
I've been
pizza
down...
Pizza hell?
I've been down in pizza hell, clattering the bones of the pepper onions and wafting through the crust of mortality.
That reminds me, Daphne, we never really resolved...
Touched.
What?
Touched hands. And stared into our eyes at the lake. We could still do it, Arnie. I'm still an unwed mother.
Yeah, that's true. Daphne, we always suspected that maybe you're dead and don't know it. You.
How can you tell? Is it a mirror that tells you whether you're alive? Is it the feeling of bed sheets? I don't have any.
Don't have any feelings?
Bed sheets.
Oh.
I've been sleeping on just a bare plate of grass.
Oh, that's all the stains.
A large plate that I got at a department store and then put some turf on and I sleep on it.
Daphne, sir, is there anything that we could do for you to kind
Arnie,
of...
Arnie, tell her it's a plopper.
Oh, Daphne, I got a plopperzition for you.
I'm ready.
Plopper.
If you could smile, why?
I can't, because I've never had someone at my side who will bear with me through thick and thin. And if once a man could intertwine his pinky with mine, I might then be able to creak out a move with my mouth that goes up instead of down.
I'm sorry, I'm not athletic.
It's the Dark Lord.
What's that? Mysterious Anonymous has had something to say there.
This is the Mysterious Anonymous is a Dark Lord venture.
I have a plopper for you.
Oh, I love a plopper.
Where's that nice little frog?
She's on the field.
Oh,
she's being attracted by Chad the Human Zoo, Potato Man. Look at that. That frog is just sliding right up to him. It's just animal magnetism.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting that Daphne should get involved with the Dark Lord.
Oh,
I mean, if you're interested, we are always accepting.
You know, sometimes, Usador, I feel like Miss Picklesmith is the Dark Lord. You know what I mean? A quick I mean, quick plopper for you there, Usador. About a year ago, she put into our bathroom tinted glass around the outside of the toilet. Why would she do that?
Well, you see, sometimes when you cohabitate with another person, another entity, they don't want to see you in your most intimate moments, especially when those intimate moments involve feces. So I assume she's done this to make the whole affair more pleasant for her. Were you leaving feces somewhere where she could see it?
I gotta tell you, that is a thoughtful and helpful bird! Bird!
Bird on the field!
Bird on the field! Bird of the Human Zoo has got a bird coming right at. Holy moly! Here he goes, his hand is up! He's got it! He's got a bird! He has caught a bird! 700 points to the Orcs. That makes it 2103 to 6.
Oh, Farmington is burning a barn.
Well, it's a little late to burn the farm down because it's time for second snack. Everyone on the field is sitting down for second snack.
Oh, where's it? Do we get a snack up here in the booth?
I tell you what, you can have
I'll
all
give
the
you a snack.
You can have all the snacks you want because we are now at halftime, and I believe the halftime locker room is for some reason did the Vermilion Minotaur. Not entirely sure why that is, but that's where it's set up. The locker room is in the Vermilion Minotaur, so you guys can go there and enjoy halftime.
Oh, I think there was that zoning issue.
So, I think we'll take a little bit of a break. I'd love to have you guys back on for the start of the second half. I mean, it could be 10 to 12 more days, so it'd be great to have some company for a while.
Sure, yeah, and
I'm
you know
not
what?
Doing anything, Arnie.
Okay, yeah. I would just like everyone to know, especially, I mean, not Mysterious Anonymous particularly, but we're going to go down to the locker room, and we will definitely be back in the second half. of the game. We are definitely not going anywhere. We're definitely going to be here. We're not using.
Not pulling a fast one?
Not going to. I mean, hey, I get it. I get some people might be like, it's a big event. Everyone in Hogsface is at the game. Everyone is paying attention to the field. It would be a perfect distraction for an escape plan, but that's not what
nobody is thinking that. Not one person. What everybody's thinking about right now is getting down and getting some, hold on one second, let's see, getting some Rooskies, brought to you by Rooskies. You take some barley, you put it in a beer, and you double it up, and that's a Rooski. So that's who's sponsoring us here at halftime, a Rooski. Yeah, you guys, I noticed you're all wearing gloves, and you got some shovels and other things like that, so that should be kind of an exciting halftime, whatever you guys are planning to do.
It's just like a thing it's you like wave around in the stands. Yeah.
We're the Shovel Boys.
Shovel Fence.
Yeah, play some Shovel Fence, right? You know?
Hey, good times, good times. So have a great time down at the halftime, and I'll be maintaining the broadcast as you guys go down. And
can I ask, do you do the Skittles, or are there pre-programmed Skittles?
I've done some Skittles in my time. I used to work with a group that did skits, and then we said, no, let's shorten them and make them funnier, and that became the Skittles.
So like blackouts?
No, I was conscious throughout all of the Skittles. That I've done, so not like a blackout. But let me tell you what, Mrs. Picklesmith put the kibosh on the blackouts after about the second year of our marriage.
Yeah.
Said enough. You know, I'd wake up, I'd missing a jacket, left my wallet somewhere. Those sort of things don't fly in the no-fly zone, which is the Picklesmith house.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, excuse us, we're coming into the locker room.
Hi, do you mind if we pop in here?
Yeah.
We're regulars at the Vermilion.
Oh, Winter. My God, I know y'all. Hi.
No. Hey, Squibbert.
Yeah, I'm just all sweaty. If you want to get a lick, it's a good time. I'm all yacked.
I need to stay sober, but thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you, guys? Hey.
Hey, Ooze. The wind.
Did you hear it? I said that. I've never gone that fast in my life.
Yeah, you were cooking.
Yeah. Also, I gotta say, you guys have been playing this game for days and days.
Mm-hmm.
This is your first break.
Yeah, I left for a while. Sort of seeped into the earth. Nobody really noticed. Part of another part of me came up. Sort of lay there for a little bit. But actually, I was down just about a foot underneath the grass.
Mm. I left a bunch of times. That might be why we don't have a great score.
Yeah.
You're getting your asses handed to you.
I finished four books, though, and I gotta tell y'all, reading is, like, so underrated.
No, I get it. You know, when I was a kid, I would play baseball, and I was in outfield, and I put my mitt on my head, and I'd spin around in circles.
That's not very inspiring.
No. Oh,
is that what you're supposed to do in baseball?
I mean, if you're not good.
Wow, I really feel fucking pumped and ready to go back out in the field after that. You got any more stories to tell us?
Oh,
no. Have sports in your bloodline?
Oh,
yeah. Arnie's dad was a great basketball coach.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess.
Didn't you say he had an undefeated season?
I'm just going to go mope in the corner if nobody's going to.
I could do one, I guess.
Arnie, now's your chance. If your dad was an undefeated basketball coach, you could coach the men's team.
I guess this is one of those times when things are looking their darkest and the team just needs some kind of rousing speech.
Okay, team.
Hey, guys. Hey, team. I know it doesn't look good out there, but, you know, in my world, I've seen a lot of sports movies.
Is this another joke? In my world?
In my world, sports wins you.
Ugh.
No, in my world, I've seen a lot of sports movies, and usually what happens is things look like the team isn't going to win, and then if it's a good sports movie, they redefine what it means to win. So maybe you're Rocky and you're like, I don't have to win, I just got to get through a game without Apollo Creed knocking me out. Or maybe it's Tin Cup and you're like, I don't have to win, I just have to keep hitting this ball a bunch of times.
What game did Rocky play?
Rocky?
He said he's got to get through a game without getting knocked out?
Boxing.
Oh.
You were just laying a box? I've done that.
I've done that, too. More times than I care to admit.
My favorite part of this speech is when you cut off the fucking ooze.
Arnie, pump up the energy.
Oh, yeah. What I'm saying is, look, it looks really bad out there right now. But if you can at least survive the game, you'll be winners.
Survive the game.
Survive the game.
Survive the game. Survive the game.
Well, I made it. I made it. How's it going so far?
Good, good. Oh, and guys, you know what? I've got an idea of a totally different way to redefine a way of winning. We're going to escape Hog's Face. Look, we got these shovels. We've been digging a hole under the wall all week.
Oh, I've seen that.
You saw the...
Sure.
Yeah, we've been talking about it all week.
Oh. Oh, okay.
We're in. Let's fucking do it. Let's dig okay. out of this fucking right. hellhole.
Okay.
Why was everyone chanting when I came in?
I'm a natural leader.
Wait a minute. I have a question. You're trying to pump us up for the game, but then you're like, forget the game and let's dig a hole?
Is this some kind of coaching strategy yeah. that your dad taught you?
Also, isn't Squibbert with the Baron?
Oh,
I'm neutral. I'm, you know, if we're all going in a hole, I might go in a hole, but I'm not, no guarantees of what I'm doing tomorrow, you know?
You were coaching them? You were giving them, like, a rousing coach's speech?
Arnie, this is why we don't do plot.
Why don't I do the speech? I do a rousing speeches all
right.
all the time.
You, so are you arousing giving a rousing speeches? Speech?
Yes, very arousing and rousing. This is your opportunity to grasp fate by the hand and to lead it along a path towards your desire. Now, if we win this game and we escape, we shall defeat the DL
and make it arousing.
Shall force ourselves to find a new life, a new happier life together where we can all live in peace.
Arousing.
Lovely and yeah. touching one another.
Yeah.
Making each other feel better.
Yeah.
By holding each other. Mm. Whispering
who's
sweet
licking me right now?
Into each
that's
other's
me.
Ear.
Okay, that's fun.
And then, freedom for all the good peoples of Foon.
Point of parliamentary procedure. Are we supposed to win and get our freedom?
Sure, why not?
But aren't we leaving through a hole?
Well, technically, you could do both, Ooze.
True.
Yeah. Look, I know. It seems like we're just running away and we're leaving most of the people of Hog's Face still trapped here. But they're going to destroy my world. And I have to leave with this laptop. If the Dark Lord doesn't have this laptop, he can't destroy Earth. And then we can come back. We can figure all this stuff out later.
Rick Picklesmith here. It might be a good time to let you know, Hot Mike, your mic remains on. We're catching you up in the booth and broadcasting it to literally almost everyone in all of Foon.
Bazinga.
Yeah, I was really enjoying the speech. Didn't want to interrupt. Now I feel bad because your plans have been outed on the Picklesmith Show. Quick plopper. Would you rather eat a bag of bats or beat a bat with beets?
I guess I'd rather beat...
It's gotta be a bag of bats.
No.
Arnie, bag of bats.
No, because beating a bat... wait,
buddy, 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 bag of bats.
No, beat a bat with beets for the challenge.
You know, all the ploppers can't be gold, Arnie. I do apologize for that one. It was...
Arnie, I have an idea.
Yeah?
Since everybody heard what you said, turn off that mic.
Okay.
Didn't you say that you... heard about a movie but never saw called Victory?
Yeah.
What was the plot of that?
I think it involved Sylvester Stallone and a bunch of Nazis, and he just said, look, I don't know if we can beat the Nazis, but if I can just
like
get
forever,
through this,
girl?
If I can just get through this war without Apollo Creed knocking me out, it'll be as if I won.
Should have noted earlier, still Hot Mike.
Duh!
Should have pointed it out, but wanted to hear about Victory.
Rick, can I jump in?
Oh, you better believe it. Mysterious Anonymous, you own the team. You own the booth, my man.
Yeah, so I did want to make clear, although I got interrupted, I am speaking to you today. I am Baron Ragoon. I'm the steward of the Shrike Valley and a representative of the Dark Lord.
Can confirm.
Phony-ass chump.
Corny motherfucker.
And I just want to thank Arnie for sharing the details of his plan over here on the hot mic.
I gotta remember how to turn these mics off.
Yeah, that seems unfortunate. Quick plopper, if you were aware of a group of resistors who were going to try to escape, what might you do in that circumstance?
Oh, first of all, I would engage them verbally if that was an option. I would also let them know that we're aware of their tunnels. And while I had them distracted, I would send orcs to surround them and then eventually break in and seize them.
Oh, good thing
there
this
you
is
go.
A plopper.
There you go. I got you reversed hot mic'd there for you, Arnie. We did... You know, what turnabout is fair play. He knows your plans, you know his plans.
I mean, this game has so many twists and turns in it.
Is that with the banging on the door of the Vermilion Minotaurs? Or there's orcs coming? God.
It could be.
Okay.
It's the orcs right now. Sometimes ploppers ain't hot, but when they're hot, they're hot.
Oh, this is the finale of season one all over again, Arnie.
We're out of time. We just got to move this poster of Titania, and we got our escape hole behind that. Flower, ooze.
Yeah, I got an inspirational speech planned. Is now the time?
Now is the time.
Fucking do it! Do what you were born to do!
Okay, we gotta get out of here.
Arnie, I just want to jump in here and say, if you run away, we are going to kill everyone remaining in Hogsface.
Oh, plop.
What? Baron, I know, like, you're evil, the Dark Lord's evil, and, you know, this is war, but you wouldn't kill everyone in Hogsface.
Well, not me. I kind of count as, like, a special protected employee. But he is dead serious. I've seen his journal.
Yeah. And Arnie, I also need to tell you that running away won't actually save Earth. If you'll recall, there's another laptop. We made a copy of yours.
Oh, shit.
The peach.
We've done so many episodes, it's hard to keep track of every little detail.
It is a bit much. It's almost more confusing than Mittens.
Yeah, but okay, fine, you have a copy laptop, but you don't know how to broadcast the podcast with it.
Arnie, I have broadcast a podcast when you were in prison. You may not recall, but immediately after we took Hogsface, before we could get you to broadcast...
Shit, that's our thing.
I know.
Oh, we spent all that time digging behind that poster. I mean, we had to wait for thunder, right?
I know, yeah.
I don't know why you made us wait for thunder. We could have just started digging. Nobody's around.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be able to save Earth. And then later we come back and save Hogsface. I'm sorry, guys. I thought we could redefine how we could win this.
We're all in danger. Right now, we must do something. Everyone.
No, we lost. Usador, we lost. We already lost.
No, you never give up. Turn off your microphone. I have an idea. Everyone, we must act now!
Whatever, Stu. I'll turn it off.
Come here, Iggy baby. It's going to be okay.
Start the clock.
I'll turn it off.
That was a pretty good trick you pulled there. Have you considered being duplicitous in favor of evil?
Well, you know, Mrs. Picklesmith says I do that every weekend. Yeah, but I call it straight down the middle. Just a Mittens fan through and through. And, you know, a big fan of bringing the people what they want. And speaking of which, you had asked to have a final statement to the good people of Hogsface. And who am I to neglect my contractually obligated duties to you?
All right, well, people of Hogsface, your day of reckoning is at hand. Any embers of hope you held close to your heart were a lie, and now nothing but pain and torment await you. And for the Earth listeners we have right now, your time is at hand as well. Find your loved ones, say to them whatever you wish to say. If you worship gods, get that out of your system.
Hold on, quick blopper. If you had one last thing to say to your loved one, what's it going to be for you, Mysterious Anonymous?
Oh, man, I feel, it was all for nothing.
Yeah, you know what I would say is, Mrs. Picklesmith, fuck you.
I'm turning the mic back on. You said that was a dumb plan.
What? I swear these rocks are magic.
We're not just going to swallow a bunch of rocks.
I don't want to swallow rocks.
You said turn the mic off. I thought you had, like, a good plan that we were going to be able to escape with.
Yeah, just eat these rocks.
Stop.
It's not bad.
I ate my rocks like a good boy.
We surrender.
The wind.
According to these prediction waves, there is another episode coming next week, and it might transmit a signal that will destroy two dimensions. I'd tell you not to listen, but this is the planet that keeps making more Pirates of the Caribbeans. Usador the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Chunt the Badger was played by Adol Rafai. Rick Picklesmith, the Mittens announcer, was played by Rush Howell. Flower the Talking Flower was played by Brooke Bright. Brooke performs with the Jokey Clip Time News Hour, sorry, I mean World News Tonight, and the Improvised Shakespeare Company, at Chicago's IO Theater. Ooze was played by Paul Gondry. Mysterious Anonymous, a.k.a. Baron Ragoon, was played by Chris Rathjen. Daphne the Unwed Mother and Squibbert the Frog were both played by Sarah Shockey. Her show, Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling, comes out every Thursday on the MLW Radio Network. The other Mittens commentators, Axelrod Remax and Chamberlain Bunny Cuddle, were played by Mark McConville and Matt Gorley. You can hear them on Pistol Shrimps Radio and Super Ego, both on Stitcher Premium. Follow Mark on Instagram and Twitter at Mark McConville. And for all things Matt, head to mattgorley.com. Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Ryan DeGiorgi, and Evan Jacover. This episode edited by Chris Rathjen. I'd better be going before lights out. Well, first is lights down low, and I am not missing out on the back rub circle. Xanthascore, the triple serial monogamist, has pincers that turn these shoulder blades to jelly.
There's some rather disgusting chants coming from the crowd today. Orcs, orcs, they eat porks.
Nuns, nuns, sexy buns.
I don't like that part of the game myself.
I love that they have assless habit.
And hassless habits.
Now we're talking. Literally, I'm talking.
And I am too. This is Axelrod Remax.
And this is Saxy Chambliss.